Well, hey, it is so good to be here with you today. My name is Justin. I get to be one of the pastors here. Today, we are continuing our series, Getting Away, because that is exactly what we do during the summertime, is we take those times, those strategic times, to get away for some rest, relaxation, some renewal. But remember, as we're going through this series, we're seeing that it is equally important, is just as important, if not more important, to get away in our spiritual lives. That means that we are getting away from chaos, from distraction, from disruption. We are getting away from the unhealthy things in our lives, whether those are relationships, environments, or something else, all so that we can be getting closer to God. So we're getting away so that we can be getting closer. And as we've walked through this the past couple of weeks, we've talked about when we go away on a trip, what do we bring with us? Last week we talked about how we need to bring soaps and shampoos because we have this need, this desire to get clean in our lives. This week, as we're packing our bags, we have to make sure, this is important, right, that we bring clothes with us. And here's the thing. So, like, I would pack a shirt like this because when I'm away, I like to wear a t-shirt. It's nice and flexible. It's soft. I also love this shirt in particular because it points back to the awesome student ministry that I get to be a part of right here at this church. And so when I'm away, people ask me, they see a Rhode Island on this shirt and they say, "You're from Rhode Island." I say, "Yeah, and this isn't just any Rhode Island shirt. This is about what I get to do back at home." So I love packing things like this when I get away, but we all pack clothes that we like, right? I like that shirt, and because we want to look good when we're on vacation. We don't just want to wear whatever clothes. We want to wear clothes that we feel like we look good. People see us and they recognize that either, hey, he's all about something, she's all about something, or just that, hey, they look really nice. Because we care about what people think about us. We care about what they see in us. That's just part of who we are. And that's what clothes do. They represent something. See, I want to show you this jacket. When I was like 12 years old, I was on this baseball team and we won the championship because we were the best, right? We knew we were the best. But when we went to get our trophies, they didn't just give us our trophies. They gave us a jacket just like this one. And mine had my team name on it. It said League Champions on it. On one side, it had the cross bats, like the skull and crossbones, but it was bats. On the other side, it had my name, and it had my number 11 on the side. And I wore that jacket. We got it in summertime, right? It was 95 degrees like it was today. But I was still wearing this jacket everywhere I went because I wanted people to know that I was the best. I was the champion. I wanted them to see that and say, oh, he must be a part of something amazing because look at that sweet jacket he's got. And so they knew when I wore that jacket, they could tell just by what I was wearing. And see, where we're going to be going today is in Colossians 3. And Paul is telling the church the exact same thing, that people will recognize you by how you dress, what you wear. But see, what he's getting at is that he's using that as a figurative. He's letting them know that, hey, you already have a reputation. People already see some things in you. And if you are really going to be getting closer to God, we need to change what that is. And so you need to dress yourself in this certain way. So that way, the first thing that people see when they see you is this. So what's happened at the beginning of Colossians 3 is Paul has gotten into this and he says, hey, this is who you used to be. He starts pointing out some faults that they have, some wrongdoings that they have, some sin where they're missing the mark on their relationship with God. And he says, this is what people are starting to know you for. This is what people see when they see you. But he says, we want to change that. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 10. Verse 10. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become more like Him. See, this is exactly that. This is getting away from all that old stuff so that you can get closer. He says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. And look at this. He says, Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. See, isn't that exactly what Maggie was saying just a moment ago? Christ is all that matters. And Paul, he gets into this and he says, listen, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what group you're a part of. And none of that matters. It doesn't matter what team you played for. He says, each of you are able to receive this same type of relationship. The same relationship that we spoke about last week, where none of us, there isn't a single person who is not capable of receiving the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. He says, it's the same thing. None of us each and every one of us is able, is capable of being a part of this relationship with God. But what Paul's done really effectively here is he's set up his next sentence. Because what he's about to say is, yes, you are capable of being a part of this relationship, but if you are capable of being a part of that relationship, you are just as capable of living your life in a way that would show that relationship. And here's where he gets into verse 12. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, he uses this word holy. We hear it a lot. We see it a lot. It really just means to be set apart, to stand out. Think of, it's summertime, right? Think of when you've been to the amusement park, when you've been somewhere, and you see all those kids in the same group, and they're all wearing the same shirt. They stand out. You know that they represent something else. You know that they are there with either a camp or a church or some sort of other group, maybe one of their teams, because they're all wearing the same thing. They stand out just by what they're wearing. Paul says this is the way that we need to live our lives. That we need to stand out. That the first thing that people should see in us, it should be just like when we're wearing that same shirt that separates us, that makes us stand out. And what he does is he takes five qualities that we'd say, hey, those are really simple qualities. Paul says, yeah, they're simple, but it doesn't mean that they're natural. And so he reminds them of what these five qualities are. And what I want us to do today is to walk through those same five qualities, because if they were not natural to people back then, in our complicated times, in our complicated world, in our world going 100,000 miles an hour, think of how maybe less natural they are for us. So yeah, they're simple. So don't roll your eyes too much, because they are not natural. So here's the first thing. He says, the first thing that people should see when you walk in a room, just like the outfit that you're wearing, the first thing that someone should see is your tender-hearted mercy. The first thing people should see is your mercy. That means when someone makes a mistake, when someone does something wrong, you all know what that feels like. You know how embarrassing that can be. Paul is reminding the Colossians that the first thing that you should do is remember that and not feel the need to call out that person in front of everyone. Not feel the need to condemn that person right there. But to have mercy, to show mercy to that person. Maybe that means that maybe you don't even say anything. See, we have this feeling, for whatever reason, that we have to tell people when they're wrong. And he says, no, you tenderhearted mercy, maybe you don't need to tell them. And then in those times where you actually need to, that maybe they did something so egregious, so horrible that you need to let them know, maybe you pick a better time than to just call them out in front of everyone. Maybe you talk to that person and you pull them aside. He says, this is the first thing. This is just like your clothes. People should see that you have this kind of mercy. And he says, the first thing that people should see when you post or comment on Facebook, it's your kindness. Just like your clothes that you are wearing, that should be the first thing that people recognize about you. When you post, when you comment, you say, oh, no. Facebook is just for throwing my opinions out there and letting them just land and stick. And no, he says the first thing. And then some of you are saying that Facebook didn't even exist when Paul wrote this. The first thing that people should see is your kindness in each and every post and comment you make. Just like they would see your clothes when you walk into that same interaction. He talks about your humility. The first thing, you get where we're going here? The first thing that people should see when you post on your Instagram is your humility. That life is not all about you. That you put other people before yourself. You put your relationship with God. God is first, you are second. That's the first thing that people should see with your posts. What if we rethought our Instagram posts and we actually celebrated what other people are doing, or we celebrated what God is doing in our lives instead of just putting the focus entirely on us? Paul's saying, this is the first thing people should see in you, just like the outfit that you are wearing. The first thing, when you walk into your business meeting, your small group, your work meeting, whatever it might be, is gentleness. We love to have our voices heard, so a lot of times we come in really bold, right? And we're ready to just let everyone hear us, and we're going to speak over absolutely everyone. Paul says, no, people should see your gentleness. And maybe that means, instead of speaking up so loudly, maybe we're a little more calculated. And we think about what we're going to say and when we're going to say it, and we pick the actual right time to say it, and not just shift the conversation back to what we want, and not to just try and overpower someone else, but we calculate what we're going to say. We make sure that we say it at the right time. Paul says that people should see our gentleness. And then he says, the first thing that someone should see in you, that your kids should see in you after a long day's work and you come home, the first thing that your spouse should see in you when you come home from work, the first thing that your in-laws should see in you when you come over is your patience. That you're willing to maybe sacrifice some of your time for someone else's. He says, these are what people should see. This is what is going to make you stand out above everyone else. Now, what I want us to do for just a second, I want you to think of these five qualities. And literally, take a few seconds right now and think of someone who encapsulates those five qualities. Get that person in your mind right now. Now that you have that person there, isn't that a person that you enjoy being around? Isn't that a person that you look forward to your conversations with? Is that a person that you are ready to listen to and ready to hear what they have to say? Maybe even in a time where you're in a situation where they might tell you some bad news or something bad about yourself. Aren't you more open to hear what they have to say? See, Paul is reminding the Colossians, he's reminding us that there shouldn't just be one person that we know that's like that. Each and every one of us as Christ followers should exemplify those five qualities. That's who we should be. That's what's going to make us stand out among everyone else. And what I want you to catch is that all five of these qualities point back to a person who has flexibility built into them. And that's exactly where Paul takes us next. He says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. No, we can't forgive people who offend us because then I wouldn't be right all the time. He says, no, forgive people who offend you. He says, remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, it all hinges on that statement right there. The Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive others. I do a lot of things that I need to be forgiven for each and every day. I have a lot of faults. Lindsay would love to tell some of you guys about them sometime. You know, right now, we had this project that, you know, should be in our basement, and I should be working on it down there, and you should see our downstairs. It is just covered with garbage and with trash and sawdust and everything because I'm doing it throughout the house. That's a huge fault. It could have turned into this horrible argument. But it didn't, because she made allowance for my fault. I'm grateful for that. And I got to fix that when I get home. But Paul reminds us to make allowance for each other's faults. Let's come back to this idea again. We all know what it's like to mess up. We all know what it's like to make mistakes. But for whatever reason, there is this innate desire and need for us to always be right. And so anytime someone else makes a mistake, don't you feel that in yourself where you're just ready to let that person know how wrong they are? Paul says, hey, you need to back up for a second. You need to get that out of you. He says, because you need to remember that you needed forgiveness just like anyone else did. And because you need that forgiveness, you need to be ready to express and share that same forgiveness with other people. That brings us to our bottom line for today, that it's easier to forgive those who are wrong when you understand that you are not always right. See, we have to get away from that need to be right. We need to understand that people can disagree with us, that they can have different points of views, that they can make mistakes, that they can actually do offenses towards us, they can offend us. And we'll still see that, hey, I've done that to other people. There are so many times in my life where I have hurt someone else, where I have done something wrong to someone else. And if I can hold that in my mind that I need to receive forgiveness, not only from them, but from God because of what I've done, then it makes it a lot easier to start to forgive other people when I see the wrong that they've done. We need to get a lot better at this. We need to see that people are going to make mistakes. They're going to do things not the way that we want to do it. And we need to make allowance for those faults. We've talked about this. Some of you guys like camping. That's a huge fault. But we make allowance for that, right? But seriously, we need to move away from that. And we need to know that people can make mistakes. And they deserve the forgiveness that we've received from God just as much as we did. Now, Paul gets back. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. See, he says that we have this love from Christ that's going to bring us peace. It's going to give us harmony. It's going to bind us together. But that means that we actually need to live a life filled with that love. We need to live a life where people actually see that love in us. You know, he talked about the mercy, the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, and the patience. He said, those are like layers. Like when it's wintertime or maybe in the fall or the spring and you wear different layers, he says, you need to wear a layer above all that, and that better be love. That needs to be what everyone sees, and it needs to be so big and so ridiculous that the second you walk in a room, if they don't see all those other things, then they definitely see your love. It needs to look absolutely ridiculous. It needs to be the biggest, poofiest winter coat that you've ever had in your entire life. And people need to see when you walk in the room that, hey, this guy, this lady, they just encapsulate love. And so even though we might not see eye to eye, even though we don't necessarily get along, they are the most kind, merciful, gentle, loving person that I've ever met in my life. Do people see your love when you walk in the room? Do they see your desire to lend forgiveness to someone else? Let me ask you this way. Are people seeing your hurt or your healing? See, when people see our hurt, they see our past. And here, let me make this really clear. I am not diminishing anyone's hurt. We're not trying to take that away from you. Each and every one of us have hurt. Some of you in this room, some of you online, you have more hurt than I could ever possibly understand. But when we live our lives in a way where all people see is our hurt, we start living in a jaded, cynical way. We start living in a way where everything becomes negative. And no one can take away your hurt from you. That's part of your story. It's part of who you are. But when you're healing, when you live your life where people can see your healing, your hurt stays a part of your story. You know, that baseball season where we won the championship, what I didn't tell you before is that I sat out most of that season because I got hit in the face by the ball. And there's pictures of me with my eye like all ripped apart and bloody and messy and nasty. Now I have a scar there. You can still see the hurt that happened to this day. But you can also see the restoration work that happened in my body. So you may have experienced hurt where you are in need of forgiveness for someone else, or maybe you need to forgive somebody else. But can people see the healing, the restoration work that comes from the love of Jesus that's happening in your life? When people see you, do they see your hurt or your healing? Let me take us to one more spot. We're going to wrap up here. Paul says, And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do or say, whatever you do or say, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of Jesus. Every single thing that you do it as a representative of Jesus. Why? So that you can live in that holy way. So that you can stand out. So that way you can point more people back to God. It doesn't say some of the time. It doesn't say the time that it works for you or on Sunday morning or whenever that might be. He says whatever you do or say at each and every time. And think of this. Those kids who are at the amusement park or wherever you see them and they're all wearing the same shirt. Even the things that they do that aren't so good, they're doing it as a representative of that shirt that they wear. So when we go and we tell people, hey, I go to church, I'm a Christ follower, I live my life in this way, even the negative that happens in your life, whether you like it or not, you are doing as a representative of Jesus. I think we need to be really careful about that. And if I'm completely honest, I'm really worried about that. As we look at what we're facing right now, and as we look at what is coming up in the months, whether that's decisions about school or elections or whatever else, are we living our lives in a way where everything that everyone sees from us is as a representative of Jesus Christ? When we walk into the room, are they seeing our mercy, our kindness, our humility, our gentleness, and our patience? Whatever you do or say, we need to be doing it as representatives of Jesus. That brings us into our next steps for today. Here's the first one. There's only two today. Our first next step is that I struggle to offer forgiveness because of the hurt I've experienced. And today, I'm choosing to find peace in Jesus. We've all had things happen to us. Like I said, some of us much worse than others. And because of that, for some of us, forgiveness is really hard. It's incredibly difficult. What I'm asking you to do is not hold on to that hurt necessarily, but let God do his restoration work in you and bring healing. Can you choose to start today, to start maybe letting go of some of that hurt by being able to offer forgiveness to some of those people that have hurt you in your life? If that's you, what I'd ask you to do is on your connection card, go ahead and check that off, whether you are here with us in person or you are online. Click that link and get connected with that connection card. Here's our other next step for today. That I want mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience to be the first thing that people see in me. And this week, I'm going to rethink my online approach. It means before you post on Facebook, before you comment there, before you post on your Instagram, on your Snapchat, on your TikTok, I don't care where you're at, you are going to stop, you're going to pause, and you're going to ask yourself the question, when I make this post, is the first thing that people see in me mercy? Is the first thing that someone sees about me kindness? Is the first thing humility? Is the first thing gentleness? And is the first thing patience? Maybe you're saying, hey, I'm just not an online person. Online church has been a stretch for me. I know it's been a stretch for some of you. It's okay. You can bring this to any platform in your life. First thing that someone is seeing in you, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Would you make that step today? Would you take that step to make sure to rethink the way that you approach people, to rethink the way that you interact with others? Let me pray for us. Father, I ask for myself that I would clothe myself in just the way that Paul explains it here, that I would be filled with not my mercy, but your mercy, not my kindness, but yours, and your humility and your gentleness and your patience. God, you know that that is so beyond each and every one of us to be able to do that on our own, that it isn't natural to us, just like Paul made that point. But God, we're asking that with your power and with your help, Holy Spirit, would you do that kind of work in each and every one of us? Let us be a church that whatever we say or do, we are doing it as your representatives, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.